Welcome everyone to The Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at The Score. And let me start off here by saying that I apologize. I said on Monday's show that I'd be back on Tuesday. Unfortunately, I had a couple things come up. I didn't get a chance to record. Normally, I'd go over the Thanksgiving slate on that Tuesday show. Now I'm not going to have a chance to, but you do have my rankings. You have my trade value charts, the waiver wire column, the waiver wire episode. Plus, I'm going to have the updated version of my week 12 rankings out nice and early on Thursday. So you'll be able to set your lineups well in advance of that triple header, starting with the Packers and Lions game. But I am sorry that I didn't come through. I hate when that happens. And believe me, I would have recorded if I could have. Fortunately, we're back at it today. I appreciate you hanging out with us here, and I'm going to have a guest joining me in a bit, but before we bring him in, let's go over my three unapologetically bold predictions for Week 12, courtesy of our friends at Captain Morgan. And my first bold prediction this week, Isaiah Pacheco will have over 150 scrimmage yards against the Raiders. It's a mark that he's only hit one other time in his career. That was earlier this season against the Jets. But the Raiders are giving up the fifth most fantasy points to running backs, including some huge yardage totals like 113 yards to Saquon Barkley, 189 to Jahmyr Gibbs, 120 to Deonta Foreman, and 159 to James Cook. And with the Chiefs' surprising struggles through the air recently, expect them to lean on Pacheco en route to a win in Week 12. For my second bold prediction this week, we're going to Arizona. Trey McBride will be the number one tight end overall in fantasy this week. The 24-year-old, he's made his presence felt. He's got top five fantasy finishes in two of his last four outings. That's helped by the fact that he's averaging the third most targets per game at his position since veteran Zach Ertz went on IR. And now McBride gets to face the division rival Rams, who are the fifth easiest opponents for tight ends this season, so he'll be racking up catches for the Cardinals once again. And then for my final bold prediction this week, Kyren Williams will finish as the fantasy RB1 in his first game back. The Rams workhorse runner, he's returning from that ankle injury that landed him on IR. It's kept him out for the last four contests. But before getting hurt, he was the RB6 in fantasy points per game, including a 158-yard one-touchdown effort that came against the same Cardinals defense he's going to be facing this week. Arizona's allowing the fifth most fantasy points to running backs this year, so you got to make sure that you get Williams active and in your lineup immediately. And those are my bold predictions for Week 12, and I'm calling it with Captain Morgan. All right, let's get our guest in here, Chris Meany of FTN Fantasy, a longtime friend of the show, and he's got you covered for all sports, NFL, NHL, MLB, all year long. He does that over on his Mean Streets podcast. You could also give him a follow on Twitter, X at Chris Meany. Chris, welcome back to the show, dude. I mean, having you on is already bringing a smile to my face. We were talking a bit before the show, so that is a very good start to things. But how you been, man? You must be crazy busy now that we got football and hockey season going strong.
Yeah, tis the season, dude. I always appreciate the invite. It's so great to chop it up with you. You're still killing it, man, and I absolutely love that. And yeah, here we are heading into what is, I think, the most exciting week in football, right? I mean, you got the three games on Thursday. We got a game Black Friday. No teams on bye. You're going to have to deal with all the byes come week 14, but no teams on bye this week, and it should be a nice little stretch here into the fantasy playoffs and also into NFL playoff time as well, man. Love catching up with you. So thanks for the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been doing this every year. I'd like to keep it going. And I wasn't really sure what to talk to you about today. I mean, we're going to hit on some of the news items when we do the rapid fire section at the end of the show. But like you mentioned, it is kind of like a weird time of the season because it's Thanksgiving week and it's not just three games, it's four games now that are going to be on short weeks. And that always makes for like strange results, right? When you have those teams dealing with the short weeks. And it's also an in-between time for trade deadlines, right? We have some sites that had the trade deadline last week. Got a bunch of sites that have it coming up over the next week or two. I know a lot of the dynasty leagues that I'm in, they don't even have trade deadlines, and I'm still cranking out my trade value charts, so people can check those out for trades, for waiver wire moves, or really just for assessing your roster the rest of the way. I think it can help, and I'll keep doing those every week the rest of the season. But today, I want to highlight some players that we really like down the stretch. So if your trade deadline hasn't passed, you can try to acquire these guys. But if you're in one of those leagues that has the early trade deadline, you can consider this like a look at some players who might be making big impacts over the next 6 weeks. So, Chris, I will let you go first. Who is somebody who you are trying to trade for, or someone whose fantasy outlook that you think is really bright the rest of the season?
So I'm going to start with Bijan Robinson here, and it wasn't a guy that I was super high on. I wasn't buying into that draft day capital of like RB2, RB3, first round pick overall. I did have some concerns that we've seen, you know, with Arthur Smith and Tyler Allgeier and just this offense overall. And it may be the buy window probably closed against Arizona. I thought maybe before that game against the Cardinals, you know, with the dud games leading up, like 0.3 fantasy points and 12 and 4.9 and a half point setting. And, you know, the three game stretch, he only had two catches, you know, for 8 yards. It was a real opportunity for you to buy, and then mixed in with the buy coming up. And then maybe this week, you know, it's not a good matchup against the Saints. They've been really good against running backs. They've been really good against opposing quarterbacks in terms of a limiting, you know, quarterback completion percentage. But I really like the schedule for him after that. You know, you got the Jets. Week 14 is a tough one, but the playoff schedule is just as nice as it can get, Boone. Like Carolina, week 15, second most fantasy points allowed to running backs. The Colts, week 16, fourth most fantasy points allowed to running backs. Week 17, the Bears, they've been pretty good against the run, but they're still inside the top 10 and allowing fantasy points to backs. They've allowed a lot of touchdowns. So overall, you look at Bijan Robinson, you see two rushing touchdowns, you see two receiving touchdowns, you see three grabs since week 6. So it's possible an owner's not buying that performance against the Cardinals and seeing this tough matchup against the Saints. I think he's going to turn out to be a league winner after everyone being ticked off potentially of what he gave you throughout the season. It's going to kind of come full circle.
That's the funny thing. Like, a lot of his managers might not make the fantasy postseason. Yeah. We always see that happen with players that struggle during the fantasy season, and then the playoffs come around and all of a sudden they blow up. But he's also somebody I had on my list, and I'm famous for not wanting to share these lists before the show, because I think it just makes for a better show that way when we can both talk about it. And if we hit on a guy who is the same, that tells everyone listening that they definitely should try to get that player, or they should feel great about that guy down the stretch. So the only thing that was a hiccup for me was, you know, you can't really trust Arthur Smith to do the right thing. And I know we saw that big game from Bijan before the bye. You hope that was sort of the eye-opening moment where they're going to continue to go to him. And I think they will, but it won't shock me at all if they come back out and do something foolish and he ends up only getting, you know, 10 touches or less or something in the game. I think everybody knows that that's a possibility now. But like you said, people who are disappointed in Bijan so far, I think they're going to be really happy as long as they're going to be able to punch that ticket to the fantasy postseason. And I think he's going to help a lot of teams win that fantasy title. For me, my first one here, I'm going to go to receiver, and I want to talk about Michael Pittman, because here's the thing with him. He hasn't had a lot of like monster blow up performances this year. So he's not really getting like a ton of love from the fantasy community, at least not as much as I think he probably deserves. And he's another guy coming off his bye, so a little bit forgotten maybe. But from a volume standpoint, he's averaging the 10th most targets per game across the league. That's just incredible for him, given what he's gone through, right? Quarterback injuries, he's dealing with a backup. And Gardner Minshew, one of the better backups in the league, but still playing with the number two quarterback at this point in the year. And he's been a top 16 fantasy wideout in each of his last 5 outings. I don't love the week 16 matchup against the Falcons corners, but the schedule, other than that, the rest of the season, very friendly the rest of the way. So Pittman to me is a really strong high-end wide receiver too. Somebody who I just don't think's getting enough praise for what he's been doing this year.
Yeah, it's a good call. I was looking at the Colts earlier because I wanted to give some love to Josh Downs on this show too. But he's a guy that's still kind of hanging around waiver wire. And I just look at the Colts, there's two players that have over 264 receiving yards, and this is Michael Pittman and Josh Downs. This is really the only guys that are getting targets inside this offense. I know Downs has been hurt over the past couple of weeks, but he's just behind Michael Pittman in receiving yards. He's got roughly 40 fewer targets than him, but all the usage, all the volume, the fact what you just said about Gardner Minshew being probably one of the better, if not best, backups in the NFL, you can't ignore the three games in a row with 8 reception. So the big plays haven't been there for him overall, but the volume is king, and I like that call a lot.
And I hope that Downs is healthy. I know the last couple games before the bye, Josh Downs was dealing with an injury there. So you hope that bye week's going to allow him to get back closer to 100%. But there were some quotes that made me a little bit worried that maybe that's something he's going to have to deal with for a little longer here. But we don't know for sure. That's another reason that maybe you could like Pittman. If Downs is healthy, I'm all in on him too. I really like what he's done so far this season. Who's another player that you're looking at here?
That knee injury, I think you're talking about, right? Dating back to OTAs is something he's going to have to deal with. So it's certainly a little bit risky there. I'm going to go to Devontae Smith as an Eagle here. A matchup against the Bills this week. You got San Fran, you know, Dallas. There's some tough spots here moving up towards the fantasy football playoff time. But this was as soon as Dallas Goedert went down, I immediately was thinking about Devontae Smith because we saw this movie last year.
Yep.
Dallas Goedert basically went down roughly the same time, missed some time, and we saw an uptick from Devontae Smith across the board. It's just been all AJ really all year long, apart from last week, which I think could be the focus of defenses moving forward here. Without Goddard in the picture, you know, we saw Snead, who's, I think, certainly in the conversation of one of the better shutdown corners in the league, follow him, and which is something he didn't do in the Super Bowl at all. And I think opposing teams will be focusing in here on A.J. Brown, which does leave some opportunities for Devontae Smith. And if you look overall, he's been disappointing. I mean, he's got the touchdowns in back-to-back games week 8 and week 9, but only 4 on the season. The stretch that he had, 1 fantasy point week 5, 6 in week 6, 6 in week 7, and just even last week, you know, the 99 receiving yards has 12 fantasy points for you. I think that really when I watch this Eagles offense without Dallas Goedert, they throw to two guys. Jalen Hurts throws to two guys. It's AJ and it's Devontae, and it's either runs or some dump offs to DeAndre Swift. I think both Swift and Smith are pretty good buy low candidates. I think they'll have really, really strong finishes. The schedule is pretty tough, as I mentioned, but it opens up in the playoffs, Seattle, the Giants, and Arizona.
Yeah, I did an episode last week looking at teams that had the best fantasy playoff schedules. And for sure, the Eagles were right up there. And I didn't want to talk about them too much because it's such a concentrated offense and because the guys that are in that offense are so good for the most part. But yeah, the minute that Goddard went down, you knew that Devonta Smith now was going to have his fantasy value increase. And I also think that it helps Swift quite a bit, too. I think we're going to see him continue to get some more receptions there. And yeah, with that the fantasy playoff schedule for both those guys, I think they're going to be excellent fantasy starters down the stretch. We're going to continue with receivers here because I have a guy who's also probably going to benefit from a tight end getting hurt, and that's Zay Flowers. Mark Andrews, he gets injured. He's gone for the season. They're saying maybe he could come back if the Ravens make a deep playoff run. Not so sure about that. We'll see. I mean, fingers crossed. I'd love for him to come back and then be in the Super Bowl or something like that. But I think normally they say those kind of things just to kind of keep a player's spirits up or to give them something to try to rehab towards. But the odds of him coming back, you know, late January, early February, it's probably pretty slim. And Zay Flowers is a guy who has been a little hit and miss recently. He hasn't been turning in those big stat lines. He actually hasn't topped 80 yards in a game yet this season. And if you remember, I mean, early in the year, he started off really consistent. He had 48 yards or more in 7 straight games. Pretty impressive for a rookie. But he's been held to 43 or less in 3 of his past 4. And a couple things are changing. One is the Andrews thing. The other, Odell Beckham, having a good game last week, but he hurt his shoulder again. So we don't know about his availability. And he's been a guy who just generally hasn't been able to stay healthy this season. So the Ravens, they get one of their best matchups of the year this week. They're playing the Chargers. LA's giving up the second most fantasy points to wideouts. Plus, they just lost Joey Bosa. So you figure that Lamar Jackson's just going to have a ton of time to operate in the pocket this week. And then the Ravens are going to go on bye. So if you're fighting for a playoff spot, you know, Flowers might not be the guy that you want to try to get. But after that, it's all average or above average matchups for him over the final month of the fantasy season, including some games where the Ravens might actually have to be pushed a little bit in some of those, especially during the fantasy playoffs. I mean, the 49ers are a scary defense, but you can throw on them, and that's a game that could see a lot of points scored potentially. The Dolphins in the fantasy championship, I think that's a game that everybody's going to be targeting. So Flowers, I think he's going to put up his best weeks of the year over the remainder of the season. I think we're finally going to see him top 80 yards, and I think he's probably going to do it on more than one occasion down the stretch.
I couldn't agree more, actually. He was on my list as well. This week, I think he's going to pop off against the Chargers. This has just been a brutal defense all year long. Among the leaders in yards per attempt allowed, quarterback completion percentage against, they've struggled against wide receivers, second most fantasy points allowed. And I thought what you said was about the bye is perfect. Like, if you're up near the top, like say you lost Cooper Kupp or, you know, have Jamar Chase, you're worried about down the stretch what's going to happen with him without Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, you've been dealing with some things. I think Zay Flowers is a great buy low candidate. And if I was a Zay Flowers owner and I needed W's that week 13 bye week, that would worry me. I would be a little hesitant or maybe looking to just grab a healthy body, somebody in return that I can play week 13 to get into the playoffs. So he was on my list. I think he's a great buy low candidate. And it's been kind of, Jake called him one of the biggest disappointments in fantasy this season. I don't think that's fair. I think maybe the expectations were a little high. He's got two double-digit fantasy point showings in a half-point setting, but from a PPR standpoint, he's really just been a wide receiver three, which is kind of where he was getting drafted. And with OBJ trending up and in the injury history that he has, I think people may be sleeping on Flowers a little bit.
Yeah, I think what might have happened is when he came out early in the season and had some of those pretty solid outings, I think then the expectations probably went through the roof at that point based on what we had heard in the offseason. And then he starts to produce like that. And you figure, okay, this guy's going to start putting up 100-yard games pretty soon. And that just hasn't happened. So that's why our buddy Jake Seeley is probably a little down on him. But I think we're going to see it turn around now. And yeah, Mark Andrews being out just kind of makes Flowers now the top guy in that offense. And I love what we saw from Odell Beckham last week. If Beckham can stay healthy, I'd be interested in him for fantasy too. But I just don't want to put any chips down on Beckham being out there for the rest of the season. All right, I think we had some of the same on each of our lists. So why don't you give me one more here that we can round it out with five players that people can trade for, or five players that we're really excited about down the stretch.
I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you two quick fire. Right. Two backs. Like two running backs I like. I like Isaiah Pacheco and I like Rashad White. The reason I like Rashad White is because he's getting all the usage. He's getting all of the opportunity. And last week against the Niners was a tough spot. You know, he's been a little bit unlucky in terms of touchdowns, but he does have four over his last three games. I'm just really loving the fact that he gets every single touch and the involvement through the air, just like last year as a rookie, 50 grabs. He's got 41. There's some massive receiving yard games from him. Godwin has just been okay in this offense. Mike Evans has been great, but I just look at the past few weeks. I mean, 6 for 65, 7 for 70, 4 for 46, 2 for 47. Last week, only 28 receiving yards, but 6 grabs. These next two matchups are fantastic against the Colts and against Carolina. If you get to the championship week 17 against the Saints, hey, you got to the championship, you figure it out. I would still play him against the Saints to catch a couple passes. He had 18 opportunities in that week 4 game against New Orleans. Week 15 is a great spot against Green Bay. And as for Pacheco, if you look at the past couple games, I mean, you saw him on Monday Night Football. I mean, this guy plays with a lot of energy, had a great game against an Eagles defense that just had only allowed 66 rushing yards, and he had 89 through 19, and a lot of them happened in the first half of that game and they got away from the run. I like these matchups as well. He's got the Raiders week 12. You know, Green Bay and Buffalo are teams that you can run on this season. There's a lot going on in that Bills secondary at the moment, unfortunately for them. And then into the playoffs, the Pats are a good rush defense. They are the leading team in terms of yards per carry allowed at fewer than four. But it's a game that I think Kansas City can control and be up in that game. And the same thing against the Raiders in week 16 and against the Bengals in week 17. The one thing I'll say, Boone, I'd like to get your thoughts as well, is at the start of the season, he was running routes. He was getting targets. McKinnon wasn't on the field getting those snaps. And even in the offseason, he was out there running routes with Patrick Mahomes, which I loved seeing it. There was a trend towards the end of the season and even into the playoffs and in the Super Bowl where he was catching passes, and that happened at the start, and it just hasn't been there over the past couple weeks. Maybe they need to lean on him a little bit more in the passing game too, because nobody else can catch a pass outside of Travis Kelce with the Chiefs. But that's a running back link too. I still believe in this offense, in a top five offense, where down the stretch here, if you're going to tell me that he's going to get 15 plus carries week in and week out, I would view him as a top 12 running back.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic call. And Pacheco, I don't know what it is with the receiving thing. I haven't been able to figure that out either. The only thing that I worry about with him is that because, and you mentioned it, the way that he runs, I'm so scared every single game that he's going to get hurt because he just runs with that reckless abandon. And you figure that that will result in injuries. And we've seen that. We saw it happen last year, right? He gets banged up as the year goes along. So I don't know if it was a conscious decision, maybe by the Chiefs coaching staff, thinking that, you know, they want to maybe limit some of his opportunities to try to keep him healthy for the stretch. But I agree with you that I think it would benefit them to get the ball in his hands out in space a little bit and get him a little more involved in the receiving game again, because he can certainly contribute in that area. And it's not like Jerick McKinnon's really giving them that much. It's not like CEH is really giving them that much. So why not continue to max out with Pacheco? I know fantasy managers would love to see that too. And then Rashad White was someone that just barely missed my list. Yeah, I was going to put him in there. I was definitely thinking about it. Love the schedule down the stretch. And he's somebody, and to be honest, the reason I probably didn't put him in there is because he was a guy that I just haven't been high enough on all year. I definitely have been wrong about him. And it's not that they've been able to run the ball really effectively, but yeah, the receiving work that he gets puts him over the top for fantasy, and he should be able to continue to do that down the stretch. So I really like both of those calls, and that brings us, I guess, to a nice round number of six players for everyone. So that's all good there, but we got one more section to go. It brings us to the rapid fire. So we'll go quick through these. You can give a little context if you want. I mean, I encourage you to do so. We just won't talk as long about these as we talked about the rest of the players. Let's start with, which Steelers player is going to benefit the most from the firing of their offensive coordinator, Matt Canada?
I would love it to be George Pickens. I really would. I know there's been a lot of talk in Pittsburgh and the Pennsylvania area about trying to get him the ball in space, but at the end of the day, Pickett's still your quarterback. I think it's Jaylen Warren. Over the last 4 weeks, you know, only 40 carries and Najee's got 51, but yeah, Warren has 337 rushing yards and Najee has 119. I honestly think that it's been a little bit unfair for Najee. Scott Spratt of FTN Fantasy jumped on the Mean Streets episode today and talked about Najee being hit behind the line 34% of the time, which was a league high number there. And just in the situation where they run in first down, right? It just, you see the Steelers offense, it's just awful to watch. Yeah. They run first down, it's just stuck behind the line. Then they get in these third and long situations and Warren doesn't see stack boxes or he makes a player two through the air. So I would say that it's been 55-45 basically over the past couple of weeks. I think that they lean on the better back, the more explosive back in Jaylen Warren. And I just don't have the confidence, Boone, to say that the answer is George Pickens. I would love it to be. I think he's a great buy low in Dynasty, but I just think that Kenny Pickett may be part of the problem as well.
I think he is a big, big part of the problem. A couple Rams that are banged up. I want to get your confidence level on them this week. So are you trusting Cooper Kupp, who's dealing with that ankle sprain? And we won't hold it against you if they don't play him this week. This is if he plays with the ankle sprain. How do you feel about him? And then his teammate, Kyren Williams, he's expected to be back from IR this week. And I think that's basically a lock because they totally waived Daryl Henderson.
Yeah.
So that means that Kyren Williams is going to play. Are you putting those guys back in your lineup without question this week?
Yes, I am worried about Cooper Kupp, but it's Cooper Kupp, the fact that he's just so explosive. So if he's active, I feel like he's ready to go and he's going to try to power through this. As for Kyren, I think it's what you said. I mean, there's no Henderson. The fact that they waived Daryl Henderson, I think, is good news for Kyren Williams. And at the start of the season, I mean, the opportunities were there for him. 15, 24, 17, 28, 16, and then 20 carries the last time we saw him. So I would say yes, RB2, RB15-ish, I have him for this week.
Yeah, just phenomenal volume for him. So we mentioned Mark Andrews out for the rest of the year. We've seen a bunch of young tight ends emerge as fantasy starters this season. Is Isaiah likely the next one who's going to become a fantasy tight end one?
I think a low end. I'm not as bullish as everybody else seems to be. I don't think it's that, you know, just cut and dry. It's just going to be Isaiah likely usage that, you know, that Andrews had. We've seen some nice moments from him over the past couple of years, not with Lamar all the time. I still like these young bucks and Kincaid, McBride, Laporta, even Ferguson ahead of him. But to the point now, like, give me likely over Pitts. Give me likely over Njoku with the quarterback playing Cleveland and Pat Freiermuth with the quarterback playing Pittsburgh. So low end tight end one. And that's where I have him ranked this week.
That's exactly what I said when we talked about it earlier in the week. And when I did my trade value charts or rest of season rankings, however you want to look at it, he came in as tight end 12. So right at that low end tight end one mark. Who's your favorite redraft stash at the moment?
You know, honestly, this may seem a little, there's two guys, Khalil Shakir and Justin Watson. And I know everybody saw Watson drop all those passes on Monday Night Football, but I can't ignore 11 targets, 16 over the last 2 weeks. Tony, Sky Moore, MVS, these guys are not getting it done at all. So somebody has to step up outside of Travis Kelce, who's not completely healthy. And I like your boy Shakir. I'm going to call him your boy. Dallas, the Chargers, the Pats in the playoffs. OC change here. I think he's going to get more involved. I see a big game from him against the Eagles in the slot, which they've struggled all year long. So those are two stashes along with Keaton Mitchell, make it a third, that I really think could be flex plays for you in the playoffs and difference makers.
And you can call Shakir my boy, absolutely. When yes. I put out the trade value charts today, the main image was Josh Allen, but Shakir was right there, center stage in that picture with him. I definitely like him the rest of the way. And then last one here, which player is being overlooked heading into week 12? And you can take that however you want to go with it, but which name are you putting some more respect on this week?
This is just a borderline play, but it's Josh Downs. Kind of teased him earlier. I know that the knee injury has been a thing, but the usage that I see from Minshew, you talked about Pittman. This is a great matchup against the Bucs, the second most passing yards allowed, third most fantasy points to quarterbacks, the fourth most fantasy points to wide receivers, inside the top three in yards per attempt, and just overall points. This is a team that gives up a lot. So I like Downs. I think that he's going to get a few targets. Pittman's the one, Downs is the two, and there's just really nobody else inside that offense. If it's not Watson, it's Downs.
And coming off the bye, this should be the healthiest that Downs has been in probably a month or so. So feeling good about him, and hopefully he can deliver for us there. That is all for today's show, though. So make sure you're checking out Chris's content over at FTN Fantasy. Go follow him on Twitter or X. The handle, once again, at Chris Meaney. I always love talking to you, man. I mean, you bring it every single time we've had you on. You still hold the record for being the only episode that we've ever lost due to technical difficulties. So as bad as I felt at the time, whenever that was, I'm very happy that it was like 6 years ago and we have not had it happen since. We are knocking on wood, obviously. We don't want to have it happen again, but you handled it as a pro at the time, and I love you for it. But I always appreciate you coming on. And I appreciate all the good content that you put out, too. I mean, there's so much stuff that you do. Mean Streets has been fantastic. I've been on the show with you before. Maybe we'll be able to do that again soon here. Before we let you go, there's anything else that you want to direct people towards? Anything that you're working on that you want to send people to? The floor is yours.
Not really. You mentioned Mean Streets, and I appreciate the plug. Yeah, we'll have to get you back on. It's a multi-sport show, mostly football. We have a Dangle Batselli NHL show with Eric Young twice a week for any hockey fans out there. We are running a promo code over at FTM Fantasy, Gravy, 40% off all packages over there. You know, if you're into a little bit of betting, into some DFS, we got the optimizer free this week as well for people to check out. So yeah, Boone, love your work, man. You're one of my faves in the industry, stand-up guy. And you know, I'm happy that the second time I came back after that mishap, that it wasn't just like me, you know what I mean? Like, oh, he comes back twice. Like, it's just like, screw that guy. We're not going back to him again. There's just some kind of things that happen when he comes on the show. So, no, it was all good, man. Things happen, of course, in this industry. And I love coming on with you, man. So keep up the good work and good luck to you and your listeners the rest of the way down the stretch run.
I appreciate it. Same to you, man. As for me, I'll be back Friday with the injury updates episode. But until then, big thanks again to Chris. Big thanks to all you for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight, I said leave on time.